I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
Good evening, Vashon Island. This is Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies, a travel story show. Today we have two friends of mine who reside on the island of Sardinia, and they have called in, and they're going to be with us today. Guido is from Holland, and Karine is from Belgium, but they live, work, and are raising their children, two boys to be exact, on the island of Sardinia in a very small town called Cagliari. Can you tell us how you came to be in this dusty, hot town?
It's a long story, Megan. We don't have time for that.
Well, we give us 2 minutes, a 2 minute version.
So actually, before arriving in Cagliari, we were living in South America, and we spent a few years there. But we wanted to go back to Europe, but we didn't want to go back to Belgium, neither Holland. So my mother came here, came to Sardinia, wrote me a letter, and said, why don't you come to Sardinia? It's such a beautiful place. And Guido and I will look at each other. We thought, why not? We give it a try, and here we are in Cagliari, thanks to my mom.
Aww, God bless her. So you tell a nice story of how you turned. I think you're coming from the north part of the island, and there's sort of a turn when you go up the hill, and then you can see the town of Cagliari.
Yes. We took a ride around the island, and one day we arrived in Cagliari, and as you say, right after the curve, you have this beautiful village on the hill, and Guido say, what's this? Should we have a look? And we had a look. And
then you never left.
No, well, actually, we left the first time, and we came back a second time, and then we stayed, yeah.
How many years has it been now that you're there?
Yeah, 16 years, yeah.
Well, you guys have made it your home, and it's beautiful to see you guys there. We're lucky that we get to see you whenever we're there.
Yeah, that would be great.
I know. Well, today, speaking of travel stories, Karine, you are going to tell us a story about going to Brazil, I think?
Yes, actually, I was, before going to Brazil, I was in Bolivia. And strangely enough, Brazil was not on my list. I traveled around Chile, Bolivia, Peru, a little bit of Argentina, but Brazil was not on my list because it was a country that scared me a little bit. I didn't speak the language, so it was very difficult for me to communicate with the locals. Mm-hmm. But, you know, after spending 2 months at an average of 3,000 meters, I thought it would be great to be back at sea level. So I take my courage and I went from East Bolivia, so Santa Cruz, a beautiful city on the east side of Bolivia. I took a train to Corumba, and it was a beautiful train journey. I love train journey, a 13 hours journey on a creaky train shaking from left to right for 13 hours and sitting on a hard seat and not sleeping, not eating. And I arrived a day after my first day in Brazil. I wasn't fresh at all after 13 hours on a train. And as soon as I left the train station, I was approached by a beautiful Brazilian man, you know, the kind of cliche you have in your head, freckles on his face, slender body, straw hat.
Brazilians are beautiful.
And he took me. Yeah, Brazilians are very beautiful. We talk about women, but men are very beautiful as well. And he took me on his van, and I was sitting with other tourists. And he was a lovely man. He was driving barefoot, driving fast. And, oh, my God, he ran a red light. Within a second, we have police cars chasing us. He had to stop. We had to get out of the bus. And three agents show up with sniffer dogs, and we had to line up in front of a backpack. And it was a scary experience.
Going through a red light? That seems really extreme.
Exactly. Yeah. And the man was swearing, my driver was such a lovely man. And only for that, yes, we lined up like we were criminals. And I was really shaking and saying, oh my God, what's going to happen? I hope nobody put drugs in my backpack.
Oh, yeah.
And they were searching my bag. The dogs were around us, sniffing everything. And finally, everything went well, except for him. It was heavily fined, which wasn't a good thing for him. And I thought, this is a terrible start. That's my first day in Brazil.
Yeah, that's not a very good welcome, that's for sure.
But believe me, that was probably that was it. Because then from then, it was just a love story with Brazil. I fell completely in love with that country, with the people, with the language, because I can't completely fall in love with a country if I don't like the language. And Brazilian language is just essential.
Karine,
it's a beauty.
People don't know this, but you teach. Well, first off, you speak French, you speak Dutch,
yes,
Italian, of course,
yeah.
English fluently. Yeah. I assume Portuguese at this point. Yes.
No, well, the funny thing, you know, when I was on, because I didn't tell you, but I had a journey of 2008. I was so scared to go to Brazil that from the moment I left Bolivia, I went from one train to another bus to another bus. So I covered a distance of almost 3,000 miles in 4 days.
Oh, because that's outrageous.
Yeah, that was amazing. 4 days on a bus, and I wrote down all the words I saw on the billboards, on the buildings, walls, just to, you know, to make out how does it work? How does this language work? Because I want to be able, you know, I'm very chatty. I wanted to be able to communicate with the locals. It would be a nightmare for me to be in a country where I can't talk to anyone.
Yeah, I could see that about you.
Basically, I spent 4 days writing all the words, trying to figure out how does the grammar work. And then I start, you know, talking to the people on the bus, because I didn't meet many foreigners on the bus. And it was lovely. Of course, my Portuguese was very clumsy, and people are so nice in those countries that they make an effort and they make you feel comfortable. And I felt like an idiot all the time, because I was mixing everything, Spanish, French, Italian at the same time. and then it was a wonderful journey, because first of all, you go through amazing landscapes. And I have to say that probably my most beautiful bus journey in my life was through Mato Grosso, the Pantanal, which is the largest wetland in the world. And I was really tired, but when I saw my first toucan flying across the road, I was, oh, what's that? I was like, wow. A little girl with big eyes and
that
toucan
was,
and 2 years.
That was in Brazil or in Bolivia? I'm sorry, I got that was Brazil.
That was in Brazil.
Okay.
It was already in Brazil, yeah. And so from Corumba, it's a city near Bolivia. I took a bus to Capo Grande. And when I arrived in Capo Grande, it was 11 o'clock at night. And they told me, you better not go to the city. It's dark and it's dangerous for you. So you have to stay there. I said, yeah, but this is a bus station. But I was lucky. An hour later, my bus to Brasilia arrived. But it was a 36-hour journey.
Wow, that is so long to be trapped in a bus.
Yeah, but then at the same time, I felt safe.
Yeah.
Outside was unsafe for me. That's really strange. I was really safe on the bus and unsafe outside because of this language. I didn't feel, you know, comfortable. And then when I arrived in Brasilia, 3 hours later, I had my connection to Belen, and it was another 39 hours.
Are there...
So when I...
And there weren't trains? Train is so much easier than a bus.
No. I took the bus in Brazil.
How long were you there on this trip?
I spent 2.5 months in Brazil, but most of the time in Belém, in the north of Brazil. So in Black Brazil. I was interested to be in Black Brazil, not in Rio or São Paulo. I wanted to be close to the Amazon. Wow. And Megan, you would get you would love it because Belém is the city of the mango trees, and there you have the largest open market in all South America called Vero Peso, and all the fruits you've never heard of, all the vegetables you've never heard of.
Oh, God, I would go crazy. I would love that. We're going to have to take a trip sometime.
Oh, you should, because just the food is amazing. And there was an unbelievable ice cream salon, and every day with 65 flavors. I don't remember how many flavors. And every day I would stop, say, no, today no ice cream. And every day I would get in. And every day I will get my Paranuts ice cream, delicious ice cream, and Cupuaçu ice cream. And yeah. You know, Brazil, it's a strange country because, first of all, it's a country you can't embrace. It's so big. It's huge. Mm-hmm. It's a huge country. You need a life to see Brazil. And it's so diverse. But I fell in love with the country, with the music and the language. So I would love to listen again to Caetano Veloso Sozinho, because Sozinho means alone in Brazilian. And even though I didn't feel lonely, sometimes I felt alone. So that's my song, Caetano Veloso Sozinho.
Eu fico imaginando nós dois. Eu fico ali sonhando, acordado, juntando o antes, o agora e o depois.
That's such a beautiful song. What an incredible voice.
Yeah.
Guido. So now we're going to go to Guido, your partner in crime. Guido, first off, I want to say thank you guys for staying awake this late. It's very late where they are. And they've rallied and maybe have had some espresso. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing to stay up so late, but thank you. And Guido, we're going to hear your story. Ah, he's drinking Ichnusa, which is the beer of Sardinia.
Of course I am. What is it, coffee?
Well, I don't know, you know. I would be drinking the Ichnusa with you, which I have many times. And I look forward to again. Guido, you're going to tell us your story?
We will.
Okay.
Yeah, you want me to start?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to South America with Karin, so I know exactly what she's talking about when she talks about Brazil. It's very, very magical. But my story is different. I'm going to talk about that trip I took to Ireland when I was in my early 20s. And I went alone to Ireland. I decided to go hitchhike around Ireland. I'd never been to Ireland before. Been to England often. I'd never been to Ireland. And the story starts quite funny, because I was going to fly to Dublin. I was going to stay with the mother of my Irish friend, Paul. And his mother is very Irish. You know, when she picked me up from the airport, it was, hey, how's the crack? And I say, the crack? What does that mean? So I got off the airport, and obviously it was raining.
And it's always raining.
Irish weather. And turned out my luggage hadn't arrived. And she said, oh, don't worry, lad. You can wear my son's clothes. I'm trying to do an Irish accent
and
here.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah.
A Dutch man in an Irish accent.
She didn't tell me her son was 12 years old and I was 22. So I was walking around Dublin for the next 2 days in a sweater that was five sizes too small. And so I looked a bit like a fool.
I'm sure you were adorable.
So she hooked me up with a guy. Yeah, I don't know. But so she hooked me up with a guy called Pat. So everybody's called Pat in Ireland. And Pat was going to show me around Dublin. Pat was a real Dubliner. So he took me to the Guinness Brewery and the Jameson Distillery and O'Connolly Monument and the Halfpenny Bridge and Temple Bar. But obviously with him being a Dubliner, I saw the other side of all those places. I saw, you know, let's say the non-tourist side, which sort of made me feel a bit more non-tourist, although I was a tourist. So after my stint in Dublin, I hitchhiked across the country to Connemara. I ended up in Galway. And from Galway, it was summertime and it was beautiful weather then. And the football pitch out just outside the center of Galway was full of little tents where all these backpackers were hanging out. And every day the Garda, which is the Irish police, would come up. And instead of kick us off the pitch, they would ask if we had enough food and if we were having fun and if we were having no problems. And if it was an issue, we could always come to the Garda station. So it was really, really good atmosphere.
They are the kindest people I've ever met.
They're amazing. Yeah, they're super friendly. Yeah. Exactly. They're so friendly. But my goal was to go and do a scuba dive course on the West Coast on the Atlantic. So I hitchhiked all the way into Connemara, all the way to the ocean. And I took the last bus, and I was the last person on the bus. And the bus driver said that, get off the bus here, lad, and walk over the dunes, and there you'll see the ocean. And I did that, and there was the ocean, and it was a little dive shack. And I said, oh, hello, I'm here for the dive course. I'm with a tent. Can I pitch my tent here? And he goes, yeah, sure. And I asked, where is the nearest town to do some shopping? It's always like 6 miles down the road. And I said, oh, that's a bit far. And they said, well, what about the other way? Oh, it's 12 miles up the road. So that's too far. Why? Because I'm walking. I hitchhiked. Okay. So I couldn't stay. So I left the dive shop. I didn't do the course. But I decided to go explore Connemara. And I ended up in, this is 20 years ago, youth hostel. The youth hostel in the West Coast in these little fishing towns were amazing. You're in a room full of people exploring Ireland. And I rented a bicycle and I put my backpack on the back of the bike and I cycled around West Ireland and ended up in Castle Bar, which you probably know.
I know it so well, Guido.
Yeah. And it has some, it says in the guidebook, it had the most pubs of Ireland. So I thought, oh, that's my place. So I get there, find a place to sleep, park the bike, go to the first pub, nobody there. Think, oh, it's a bit dead. Go to the second pub, nobody there. One half drunk punter on the bar. So, oh, it's a bit strange. Go to the third pub, same story. So I asked the bartender, what's going on? This is the place with most pubs in Ireland and there's nobody here. And he said, oh, when did you arrive, lad? So, this afternoon. Oh, you just missed it. You just had the medieval festival that ended yesterday. Everybody's at home with a headache and hangover. My luck.
I when you and I were talking, I don't know, about a week ago about these stories, I was saying to my friend Greta here that Adam and I went to in all these small towns, they have little festivals. Every little town has their own festival. And one year we went to one in this town called, I can't think of it right now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it was the drunkest I think I'd ever gotten. And we ended up basically sleeping in like a flop house of this like bed and breakfast. Use that liberally, that term, because it was basically like, nobody should have ever been sleeping in there. We woke up so hungover. Swinford, that's the name of the town. Yeah.
But I've been to other pubs, and when I want go towards the music thing, the greatest thing about Ireland, I think, is two things. The people are amazing. They're super friendly people with a big melancholic thing in the back. And every night in the pub, someone would either sit there with a fiddle or a guitar or a penny whistle or whatever. And there was times when you're sitting there, suddenly this lady, this nobody, just stood up and recited a poem or sang an Irish song, and everybody just stopped and listened. And then they didn't applaud, but they respected the fact that this lady had this emotion that had to get out in the form of music or poetry, because the Irish are very... they're very much like that.
Yeah, they're very, they're wordsmiths.
Yes. And every night, every pub ended with the national anthem. And the first time I stayed seated and talking, and people tapped me on the shoulder, get up, lad, show some respect. I was like, what's going on? This is the national anthem. You have to stand up. So, okay. And they're very much so proud of being Republican Irish. You know, they had the potato famine. And
they fought for it.
They fought for everything. Yeah. And the fact that they're such a hard people and such a funny people. And the music is so embedded in their culture. There's the Danann and there's the Dubliners and then, you know, the Pogues, even modern style.
Oh, my God. And I love the Pogues so much.
And one of the guys, everybody always, Christy Moore, he's the man. He's, you know, he's a hardcore Irish Republican. He doesn't like the Brits, but he's made some beautiful songs. And one of the songs, the song that I chose called Ride On. And even though Christy Moore, he's quite sarcastic and ironic, this song is about that melancholic part of the Irish. It's a very beautiful, soft song about, I don't know, is it a love you can't get or a dream you can't reach? I don't know. It's just a beautiful song called Ride On by Christy Moore.
Thank you.
You ride the finest horse I've ever seen. Standing 16, one or two, with eyes wild and green. You ride the horse so well, hands laced to the touch. I could never go with you no matter how I wanted to. Ride on, see you. I could never go with you no matter how I wanted to.
Ride. That's such a beautiful song. Thank you for sharing that. I told you this before, but when I was like 20, I got to see Christy Moore at the Irish Cultural Center in Chicago, which, as you can imagine, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, there are all these huge Irish cultural centers. And they took what was an old grade school, a secondary school, no, not a, a first, whatever, 1 through 8th grade. And they bought it and they turned it into this center. There's a concert hall and there's a bar. And my sister would go there a lot and do like quilting, and they would do all this crazy like designs of Celtic knots and everything, and it's really a beautiful place. So thank you for sharing that song. Thank you guys so much for coming on. Corinne, we were just commenting how you have such a beautiful radio voice.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Well, thanks you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, it was great.
Calling from the Mediterranean, speaking to Seattle. It's quite amazing.
It is quite amazing. How is the weather there right now? Is it getting hot?
Rainy.
It's still rainy.
Thunderstorm tonight.
I love those thunderstorms, yeah, though.
I love it.
I do, too.
When you're inside, yeah.
Well, I hope you guys get some good rest and finish that Ichnusa. Maybe have another.
All right, we'll see you soon, Megan.
Sonidoro.
Kiss to everyone.
I will.
Sonidoro.
Ciao.
Ciao.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you guys so much. This is Megan Hastings, and that was the Katzenjammer Follies. Join us again next week for another tale somewhere around the planet.